Hey, gang. I see you there. Welcome to the show. Welcome to National Bugle Radio. You know that bugle call. It tells you it's time. It's time to go to republicbroadcasting.org, click on the donate button, send dinero, send money, send shekels, send what you have, because we need it, and you need it. You need us to stay on the air. There's a lot of things that we talk about on this show and that we will talk about on this show today with callers. The number is 1-800-313-9443. That's 1-800-313-9443. We've got birthright citizenship. We've got the caravan coming at us. We've got, oh gosh, all sorts of bold news articles, analysis from the intellects like Michelle Goldberg, who says, yes, they can replace us. There's all sorts of stuff going on. Brazilian elections. The French, until recently, interior minister talking about breakup of France. There's a lot of stuff. But, so those are all ideas, right? Talk amongst yourselves or call in and we'll talk. We'll talk. Talk about dogs. Talk about daughters and coffee. You know, no big whoop. And one I want to start talking about is Harvard geneticist David Reich, whom I talk about frequently. He's a one of the leading geneticists. He's following in the footsteps of Svante Paabo, the Swedish geneticist who basically invented the entire industry of paleogenetics by creating the technologies needed. He decoded the Neanderthal genome, which was tough because there's not a lot of DNA left in bones. There's very little, but there is some. Problem is, what Svante Paabo found out is the first time he tried to get old DNA out of actually Egyptian mummies. He was very excited. What he found that the Egyptian mummies, they actually seemed kind of Swedish, their DNA. And he realized he was looking at his own DNA, and that we have so much DNA because we're alive, and the mummies have very little. But he overcame it. He invented all these techniques to isolate the ancient DNA and went on to not just sequence the mummies, but sequence Neanderthals and others. And then David Reich is, I suppose you could call, a protege of his. And he is a geneticist at Harvard. He's done a lot of work on Europeans. And he wrote a book recently, Who We Are. And I haven't read the book. I've read the articles around the book. I do mean to get around to reading the book. And then I've listened to lectures he's made about it. And I was, you know, every couple of weeks, I'm always going to YouTube and seeing if there's a new lecture from Svante Paabo or David Reich or Johannes Kraus or, you know, one of these other leading geneticists who were doing this very interesting work. And a couple of weeks ago, or maybe last week, I found a new lecture, and I just want to play it, and then we'll get to our callers. But I want to play, he had given a talk on the genetic history of Europe, and it's very interesting, and that's something that we can certainly talk about. But I just want you to hear the question that came after the lecture. So here we go. You got that teed up, Mr. Q, or queued up, Mr. T? There we go. That's the applause. Just finished his lecture, and he's going to go to questions. All right. First question comes from some guy.
15 minutes for questions. We already have a bit of a line, so you might want to run up if you do want to try to get a question in. So let's just move through as many as we can, and then there are books for sale, and signing in the back of the room.
Here we go.
Thank you very much for writing the book. Thank you very much for coming to talk about the book to a broad public audience. Some members of the alt-right movement have misused your book and your New York Times op-ed.
Some members of the alt-right movement. I wonder who he's referring to.
suggests that genetics can now be used to distinguish human races. Some academics have suggested that a sociologist as a co-author might have been a way to prevent such hijacking of your ideas and your thoughts.
Okay. I mean, I want to get to his answer, too, but it's just funny. Maybe you should have co-written this with a sociologist so that the facts that you're uncovering couldn't be misused, couldn't be used by people who are going to say the wrong things, who have bad think. Keep going.
Going forward, what is your view on the role of geneticists such as yourself and their role in the discussion of such questions about race and social and society?
Sure. Thank you. Thank you for the question, which is an important question. I think that geneticists are the experts on the nature of human variation, and I think that the message that's been coming from the genetics community for the last 50 years has really been a very simple message, which is that the differences among human populations are very small relative to the differences across individuals. That's true insofar as it goes, but yet the differences across populations on average are not trivial. And so I think...
So the differences between races are not trivial. Okay. I know we've got George from Greece on the line. I'd like to play his full answer, but I don't want to keep George waiting. Let's get to, because I did invite him on. George, how are you doing today?
Good day, Dr. Slattery, and please go on with the sound clip. I can hold on the line.
Okay, it's about another 90 seconds. I just think it's interesting. You know, he's trying to... I guess he's trying to keep his funding, but at the same time saying, look, facts are facts, we'll listen to what he says.
I think it's very important to be able to communicate that, because as science advances, whether we like it or not, medical geneticists are going to be able to be measuring differences in genetic traits that will differ on average across populations, and it will be impossible to get away from these findings. So I think we geneticists need to provide guidance for how to think about the nature of population differences. So race itself is a social construct. It changes over time. For example, definitions of what it is to be an African American are different in 100 years ago than they are today. Definitions of what it means to be black is in Brazil is different from what it is in this country. Some definitions of race have nothing to do with ancestry at all, especially in Latinos, for example. It doesn't correspond to a homogeneous group in any way at all. But we need, as geneticists, to provide guidance, because if we don't, that vacuum will be filled by people just making up stories about the nature of differences amongst groups, and that the genetics is suggesting that it corresponds to long-held stereotypes. But what the genetics is showing, again and again, is that what we thought is wrong? And so I think that this is the sort of thing we need to be able to be discussing. Thank you.
Okay, we need to be discussing. I'm not saying he's one of our guys, but he does good work, and it's interesting. And, of course, he uncovers what seem to be facts, or, you know, he uncovers evidence, he has his findings, and then how do you interpret them? And he interprets it one way, and it's a way that doesn't necessarily please a lot of other people. And my interpretation can be a bit different, but at any rate, we'll talk about that. I don't want to keep George waiting any longer. George, welcome to the show.
Thanks for having me on. And that reminds me of that lecture of that very, very old-aged guy who had a Nobel Prize winner who had discovered the DNA helix. His name just right, and he was given a lecture about 6 or 7 years ago at a university stage in one of the Greek cities, at the university of one of the Greek cities, and a bunch of Antifa rushed on the stage just to beat him up, and it only took another bunch of fair-minded people to hold them back and not have him, you know, lying on the ground covered with blood. These people are fanatics. These people are, you know, you cannot characterize them. This is an actual event that took that happened in Greece about 6 or 7 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
It's absolutely mind-boggling.
James Watson. That's right.
Yes. Today I would like to talk about something else that about 2 hours ago I started talking about on Don Black's show, Stormfront. And that would have to do with what's happening with Israel and geopolitics in general. And I would go on to say that these midterm elections are extremely important for our cause and our movement, because it's going to show if Donald Trump is going to be reelected in 2020. Now, he has professed himself as a nationalist, and there's no going back for him. And the deep state know they cannot do away with him. They cannot kill him this time, because to their detriment, all this mumbo jumbo about conspiracy theories concerning the JFK murder and etc. have gone mainstream, and they have rang lots of different bells in the minds of laymen in the U.S. and around the world. So they cannot go this way. They cannot go. They cannot, you know, destroy him this time, just like that. So they go on, you know, trying to get him off the White House, and this is why I think that Donald Trump represents a real danger for the deep state. So the midterm elections better be good for Trump, because it's going to decide the general election to 2020. And I think we're winning this battle, because Israel is starting to show some anxiety. They're starting to side with the Eurasianist and nationalist movements in Europe and the United States. They are pro-Trump, obviously, and I think that this is a change of hearts on the Israeli side, as they start distancing themselves from the diaspora Jews in Europe and mainly in the United States. Mm-hmm. Israel has been a mortal enemy of George Soros since time immemorial. I have heard many Jews, including rabbis, condemning George Soros' institution and activities regarding open borders, etc. They obviously have their reasons, because George Soros is openly against the state of Israel as a Jewish nationalist state, since he's an international Jew, and his workings are against anything that has to do with nationalism. So Israel is starting to behave like a normal country, and normal, and the Jew and the Israelis are becoming starting to behave like normal people, in the sense that they finally have a land to stand on. They have a land to protect. They have a land to belong to. They're not just their diaspora counterparts in the United States. They have something to defend. And this is a huge gap that's starting to form between Jews in Israel and in diaspora in general. And there was this July article in the Jerusalem Post by a certain Brian Schrauger, under the title, quote, "Israel and the Unexpected New World Order," end of quote. And from the beginning, from the title itself, there is admission of a defeat in there. From the word unexpected that denotes that they were expecting a different kind of new world order, and they found themselves before the gates of a new world order that they did not expect. And of course, the article goes on talking about how Israel would be much better off sticking with the Eurasianist vision of Russia and China. And this is a very pivotal point in terms of Israeli press, because here is an outright admission of their failed vision of Israel being at the center of the new world order that they were planning for the rest of humanity. So Israel is trying to make allies with nationalist movements in Europe. I would like to remind you that Salvini is very much pro-Israel, as is the AfD in Germany. I cannot say the same thing about Orban. There's not much information. But Tommy Robinson has been a pro-Israel activist. And of course, the alternative for Sveria, the alternative for Sweden, is also pro-Israel. They're trying to capitalize on that pro-nationalist Israeli sentiment amongst European nationalists, and they're taking advantage of it right now. And let's remind everybody that Trump has been very wisely pro-Israel all throughout his last 2 years in office.
Maybe not. Who knows? We'll see.
Yes, well, at the same time being extremely anti-New World Order and anti-deep state in terms of the general Jewish banking venture that's taking control of Wall Street, City of London, and world banking in general. So I don't think that there is any going back, unless of course radical actions are taken on behalf of the world deep state. Who knows? Maybe they will kill him after all. But as things are going right now, they're absolutely in favor of us.
Well, I look at Israel as really kind of like a monstrosity on the world stage, but Trump has, he's playing along with Israel. It's as if he's trying divide and conquer. And divide and conquer is something that has been, the Jewish forte over the centuries. Trump is trying it on them. I was talking all along, ever since he was inaugurated, probably before then, that he was trying to, he was attacking the fake media, what we could call the Zio media. He's attacking them and taking on the American diaspora's number one project, which is immigration, transformation of American demographics. People would say it's Israel. People would guess it's Israel, but as Peter Beinart pointed out, no, that's not what Jews vote on. Israel's in the bag. There's no point in voting on it, voting based on Israel. Immigration. So Trump's been taking on their top priority of American Jews, immigration. He's been attacking what arguably is their number one bastion of power, which is the media. Obviously, another bastion of power would be, oh, we're going to the break. We'll be right back.
Do you or someone you know suffer from chest pain, blood pressure, cholesterol, or irregular heartbeat? Are you looking for a more natural solution to overcome these health challenges? You hear the ads all the time. If this stuff's so good, why doesn't my doctor prescribe it? That's easy. Doctors are not trained in natural medicine. Extendivite Heart Tonic does want you to be as healthy as you can be, and it really works. Take Extendivite for 6 months and your doctor will say, I don't know what you're doing, but don't stop. It's working for you. Get the dependability of Extendivite. Just see how you feel in 6 months. A 2 month supply of either capsules or liquid is only $69.95 plus shipping and handling. Call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
Folks, we're living in a world the likes of which we've never perceived any clearer than we do now. The plan for global governance has been in the works for generations and would have likely been achieved by now but for the fact that the globalists left open their Achilles heel. With all their tools, Federal Reserve System, fiat currency, No Child Left Behind, and then Common Core education introduced to our schools to dumb us down, vaccines, pharmaceuticals to lobotomize us, GMO foods, insertion of compromised or bought and paid for politicians, judges, mainstream media propaganda, all pieced together like a puzzle designed to ultimately bring the world under submission. But with all their strategy, they forgot one thing: knowledge. And knowledge is power. With knowledge, their bombardment is nullified. Folks, with that, as brilliant and knowledgeable as you've become, among the wisest audience of any radio audience in the world, and you are, I want you to take a moment to reflect and ask yourself, how much of that knowledge did I obtain from Republic Broadcasting Network? How high has my consciousness been raised since I've been a listener? How fast am I now able to discriminate truth from fake news by being a Republic Broadcasting listener? How clear am I now able to see the world since I've been listening to RBN? Ask yourselves those questions, folks. Then ask yourself, what is that knowledge worth to me? Like my morning coffee, how would I survive without it? A voice of truth in a sea of lies. Do we not all need to make sure it survives? Like public broadcasting, we are now finding we can only survive with listener support.
I think George from Greece is still here. I hope so. And just to finish up, that last sentence from the ad, go to republicbroadcasting.org, click on the donate button, and show us some support. Okay, George. So I was just commenting that perhaps Donald Trump is playing divide and conquer. He's going after the media, going after immigration, and trying to ingratiate himself with the Jewish Wall Street banks and with the pro-Israel crowd, which would mean Israel itself. That's not what I would have advised him to do, but maybe he's wise. Maybe it is wise. We'll see. I have a hard time envisioning any likely scenario that would come at all close to an ideal situation for the Middle East, regarding what Israel's been doing there. But okay. Do you think this is divide and conquer, the Israeli Jews and the diaspora Jews? I mean, they all want what's best for the Jews, but they have a different perspective.
My take is that, Donald Trump is absolutely Jew wise. I mean, he made his fortune in downtown Manhattan, and he has to be Jew wise, and he has to know what we on the alt-right are talking about. On the other hand, Zionism started as a nationalist movement. Zionism wanted the Jews to become a normal people. Zionism wanted the Jews to stop being detested by the rest of humanity for being usurers and, money lenders and, bad people in general. So they wanted the land for their people so they could, become normal people, cultivate the land, be respected among nations. And sadly and tragically, that vision was taken over by the diaspora that have this parasitical behavioral mindset. And they really don't know what facts on the ground are for the lay Israeli person. These guys over there, they have a land to protect. They have the land to live on and defend. And the parasitical Jews in the diaspora, they wouldn't hear about it. They don't want to. They cannot. It's beyond their capacity to understand what it means to belong to a certain part of land to live on, that you live on. So I think that Zionism has been transformed after the 1950s to the detriment of the Israel project. Now Russia has played a major role in recent years in letting the Israelis know that they cannot go about, you know, with business as usual in international affairs. And their latest defeat in Syria, elucidates that very clearly. And I think that the Israelis have to play along with the rest of the world, the rest of the sane-minded world in that sense. I believe that there is potential for change, but, you know, the unexpected factor is always, you know, possible and before us. And unless the Israelis don't want to change and become a normal people, there's trouble ahead. But I think that the diaspora Jews are blind people. They're parasitical. They take advantage of the host population, and in that sense, that fact actually blares their eyes, blares their minds, and they cannot see what's factual reality is. And factual reality is nationalism. We are the new punk, and they better deal with it.
Mm-hmm. So that's all very interesting, and you know, events, history moves, events change, situations change. So I've got an open mind to what you say. I think you've got an interesting perspective. I don't know what to think, but things have been changing a lot in the past couple of years. So
yes,
who knows? I described Putinism. I defined Putinism in my view a couple of days ago as Putin taking control of Russia's destiny, but allowing what had been the legally gotten gains under the previous system to remain, not going after the gains that these Jewish oligarchs had made under the prior legal system, right? They got rich under Yeltsin. As long as they weren't going to interfere with politics, if they were going to play along with the new Putin system, he didn't go after them. He let them keep their gains. That, if you were to extend that internationally, and I know we're going off the break, but maybe that would mean, okay, the new sheriff in town in the Middle East is Russia. There's going to be Russian hegemony in the Middle East. We will tolerate Israel's ill-gotten gains up until now, but there's no more Israeli hegemony. We're the new sheriff. Is that what you think?
Well, regarding Jewish oligarchs...
Think about it for a minute, because we're about to go off to our next break.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Without the right accessories, any guy can be off the mark. Whether you've invested thousands in your arsenal or you own a single trusted firearm, a visit to aroutfitting.com is in order. It's one of the finest online selections of tactical optics and AR parts and add-ons, like EOTech, quick target acquisition with no peripheral loss. Browse the full range of Nikon scopes and binoculars. AirOutfitting.com can illuminate your world with Streamlight gun-mounted lights from keychain to large handhelds up to 1,100 lumens. Find some stability with Battenfield Tactical Bipods. AirOutfitting.com has CMMG gun parts, barrels, assemblies, handguards, part kits, and more. Plus Magpul clips and magazines. I know I've got you excited, so take a breath. Head to AirOutfitting.com. The site's super easy to navigate and features a ton of technical info, including links to manuals. We also welcome vendor and manufacturer inquiries. Remember, if you don't see it, we can get it at AirOutfitting.com.
Many people write us about their experience with Extendivite. Allow me to read you one from Amazon.com. I just wanted you to know I saw my doctor and I laughed because he said, "I don't know what you're doing, but keep doing it." I have been taking Extendivite. I had borderline high blood pressure, heart flutter, high cholesterol. I changed my diet and included Extendivite with an amazing turnaround for the better. A few months later, I had a doctor's appointment and took a stress test. I passed. No heart flutter. Blood pressure was perfect. My doctor even took me off my medicine. I thank you truly from the bottom of my heart. This stuff works, and I'm so grateful for Extendivite. Thank you, Justin G. Tell us your story. Get Extendivite today. Call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
Tired of being lied to by mass media? It's growing more and more apparent today that news is received less and less through standard media outlets. Even with a growing audience every day, RBN is beginning to direct more efforts into social media. Social media and the use of the internet is fast becoming the primary source of people for news, regardless of demographic. RBN has set out to provide some of the best news on the internet through republicbroadcasting.org and also has begun to use the tools to our advantage by way of social media. Republic Broadcasting is now operating a Facebook page to function as yet another avenue to have our collective voice reach new audiences across not only America, but across the globe as well. The Facebook page features not only news, but also an RBN player to listen to our broadcast. Get involved by visiting facebook.com/republicbroadcasting and liking our page and share it with your friends and family, because you can handle the truth.
National Bugle Radio with Patrick Slattery and George from Greece and Jeremy from Kentucky coming up soon. He's coming up. George, I want you to answer the question I posed. Is that what you see for the Middle East, a new kind of Russian Putinistic hegemony?
Well, Russia has a foothold in Syria. That's certain. The latest news is that Trump is siding with Turkey against the Kurds, so there goes the planned strategic depth for the Israeli state.
Where do you get that he's going to side with Turkey against the Kurds?
Well, there was this latest article on Greek press that I read about, and it's clearly a sign that they're abandoning the Kurds. Kurds shouting out, you betrayed us to Trump. I don't know if it's going to turn into reality, but
I don't know what Trump ever promised them, that he could then be accused of betrayal, but whatever.
Sure. Trump never promised them anything. Obama did.
Mm-hmm. And John McCain.
Right. So that's another clear sign that we're on the right side of history regarding the Kurdish problem. The Kurds obviously tried to side with the New World Order led by the Jewish oligarchies around the world, and it didn't turn out good for them. So now the largest airport in the world just opened its gates in Istanbul. So there's another sign that the Eurasianist vision is taking shape and form. Istanbul being the the 21st century hub between Asia, China, Central Asia, and Europe, and probably the the United States too. So, regarding now the Jewish oligarchs remaining in within the Russian establishment, I would remind myself of the famous saying that if you want peace, you have to keep your friends close but your enemies closer. Mm-hmm. So Putin is keeping an eye on them, having them so close to the current establishment in Russia, and at the same time keeping them in control.
Yeah, and it's not ideal. But who has been more effective than Putin in our lifetimes?
Yes, I mean it took a country in ruins. I mean, mm-hmm. the Yeltsin regime was there are no words to describe the Yeltsin regime. It was a traitorous antichrist for Russia.
Okay. Now, I want to bring Jeremy in. Can you stay with us, George?
Of course.
Okay. Jeremy, welcome to the show.
Hey, thanks again for taking my call. It's very interesting hearing George from Greece. And George, welcome. It's great to hear your perspective, and it's an honor to talk to you again.
Nice to see you again, Jeremy.
Oh, thank you, sir. Very interesting what you're pointing out, because I've sort of noticed some things Monday. Talked to Dr. Slattery about. You're actually making the observation that there's a schism in Jewish power. I've always thought that the schisms were the cultural stances that they took, but they all came together and agreed on the nation of Israel. But you're noticing that there's a break even amongst Jews about the nation of Israel and nationalism in general. Is that what I've gathered from what you were saying?
Yes. I think they are deeply divided between their general diaspora mindset and between the facts on the ground, Israeli citizenship, Israel dweller kind of mindset that they have to they had to face after 1948 when the Israel state was formed. They finally have a home of their own. They have to defend it. They have to behave like normal people. And the diaspora Jews, they don't want to hear about it. There's a gap growing between these two groups, and it's evident by the the sayings of many rabbis, many pundits in the media. For example, there is this rabbi from Thessalonica that was born in Greece and then moved to Israel. He used to be a rabbi in Thessalonica for a long time before he moved there, and he's all against George Soros's machinations, and he's all for nationalism for Jews and Europeans. He's all for Christianity and everything. He's all against the diaspora Jews. Taking control of the narrative in their host countries, and he doesn't want the Jews in Greece to tell Greek Christians to take down the crucifixes from public spaces and everything. He's pretty much aware of what's happening with the diaspora people, and he's all against that. And there are many, many rabbis that are sharing this kind of mindset. And Jews, Israelis in general, are a whole different lot than the diaspora people. I think that's very true, and it's pretty much evident nowadays.
Yeah. Hey, I've got. I'm going to take my prerogative just to inject something, and I want both of you to comment on it. So, I've in the past talked about, say, crazy Jews versus cunning Jews. not my favorite term, but it is Dr. Duke's favorite term. And What I mean by that is there, you know, there with regards to Israel, in the American diaspora, there are a lot of Jews who just blindly support Israel. But there are others who want Israel to tone it down because, you know, they're messing up things for the American, the Jewish diaspora in America. And the Jewish diaspora in America, you know, they want to make alliances with non-whites, many of whom are anti-Israel, but they want to make these alliances so that they can transform the American demographics. And it seems that George is saying, and I want both of you to weigh in on this, it seems that George is saying that in Israel, maybe there are Jews who want the American diaspora to tone it down. That they're going so extreme, and these Israeli Jews might want to make alliances with, say, nationalists in America or in Europe. So they want to make they're willing to make alliances with you know, the enemies of the diaspora Jews. Not that they want to throw the diaspora Jews under the bus, but these Israelis would want to prioritize Israeli interests instead of going headlong into this, you know, this demographic replacement. Jeremy and then George, what do you think of that?
Please, Jeremy, go on.
Thank you. Very fascinating that George is making some observations like similar to what I've made, only maybe from a different angle, that there is I've always made the observation there's a left and a right Jewish power, and that they agree on some key issues, but they appear to be opposed on many others. And yeah, I think that you look at your right wing, or your one faction of Jewish power tends to want, they're pro-Israel, they maybe are more nationalistic, they're tolerant of Christianity as long as it's what they call the Judeo-Christian viewpoint. They're very tolerant of Christians, and they're very pro-Second Amendment. And they stand for a lot of the stuff that maybe we would stand for. And some examples of Jews like this would be Michael Savage, Mark Levin, some Gentile talking heads would be Sean Hannity and Rush Limbaugh. And it's fascinating that Rush Limbaugh has made that observation on Monday. I was talking, George, to Dr. Slattery, explaining that Rush had to deal with Jewish power on Monday. He had to deal with it after this synagogue shooting. And Rush actually made the observation that, hey, the New York Times is controlled by Jews, but yet they're anti-Israel on a lot of issues, you know, that, and which we know they're not totally anti-Israel, but they do come out that way. They tend to want to appeal to the liberal base of the Jews. And so what this is doing is giving these media talking heads an opportunity to deflect us from discovering true Jewish power. And Rush is able to say stuff like, well, look, see, it's not all Jews. It's only the leftist Jews, like the George Soros types and the New York Times types, right? So in other words, the media is presenting this, that there's good Jews and there's bad Jews, and to an extent that's true, but it's much more nuanced than that. It's just simply that, as you guys are pointing out, some Jews see what's better for the Jewish race. They want to go about it a more smart, more intelligent way, or even a different way than some of these other kamikaze Jews like the Soros crowd, who want to just take America, flood it with third worlders, and crash it into the ground. That's the observation that I've made, and a lot of stuff that George is saying tends to, he seems to be making those same observations.
Well, yeah, but it also, you know, kamikaze, from our perspective, because we live in America, what George Soros represents is, you know, the kind of kamikaze. It's like pulling out all the stops, because he's focused on demographic replacement. But of course, the, you know, what might be described as the right wing, the pro-Likud faction, they've been pulling out all the stops in their neck of the woods. And, you know, that's, they're kind of crazy in their neck of the woods, but we're not over there. If we were Syrian, that would be looking at it that way. What do you think, George?
I think that the reality is that they cannot do away with the United States president anymore. They cannot kill him. There's going to be a revolution. There's going to be civil war, outright civil war in the United States, because people are nowadays have a great idea of what's happening around them. Not everybody, but the crucial percentage of the United States population has opened their eyes, and they don't want this kind of change taking place in the United States anymore. And it will be pretty obvious by now that the ones who will take down in the future the president of the United States is going to be the deep state and the globalists. And everybody today in the United States knows what a globalist is and what kind of character that word is taking nowadays. It is taking a racial, it is taking ethnic character, and everybody knows who the globalists are. So they cannot take down the United States president. So Israel cannot have it both ways. The deep question is the diaspora going to kill Israel, or is Israel going to kill the diaspora? They cannot have it both ways.
Well,
they cannot have... yes.
So I don't know if it's a matter of kill, but I think that might be going a bit too far. But the diaspora want to, they see themselves as the center of Jewish interests, and the Israel sees itself as the center of Jewish interests. And so I don't think it's necessarily one or the other, but which gets prioritized. And so it's not as if they would completely throw American Jews under the bus, but would be willing to forego or at least postpone the demographic replacement of, say, the American people or European people, which is seems to be the top priority of the diaspora Jews. What do you think about that, Jeremy?
Yeah, definitely. Something else that you guys mentioned too is that the pro-Russia stance. Some of these right-wing Jews that are pro-Israel are also tend to be a little more pro-Russia. I know Mike Savage has actually defended Putin on his radio show. It's not like he didn't spend a lot of time on it. Now, the Fox News crowd aren't exactly pro-Russian, but I think that what you have
Tucker.
Tucker tends to be a little more. But Tucker's our guy. We all know this. He's just holding back to keep his job so he can keep spreading the truth, and not be shut down. But, like, what I'm getting at is, like, the right-wing Jews tend to be more pro-Russian because, as you pointed out, Dr. Slattery, Putin tolerates Israel because he has to. And I guess they see that toleration as an alliance. So some of your more your right-leaning Jews tend to be more pro-Russian. And very fascinating what George mentioned about the Eurasian project and how Israel, what role Israel would play in Eurasia. Very
and
fascinating.
Maybe George, you could just give a brief summation of what the Eurasian project stands for.
Right. The Eurasianist project has long roots in the 20th century. It really started in the 19th century, and there were many, many intellectuals that stood for that kind of project, from Moscow to Tokyo. There were many versions of Eurasianism. On the Japanese side, there was the Pan-Asianism, and then there was the Pan-Islamism advocated by many Muslim scholars. And, of course, there were the Russian intellectuals. And, of course, nowadays... Excuse me?
Pan-Slavism?
Pan-Slavism, It would not fit entirely into the Eurasianist movement,
okay.
But Pan-Slavism is more of an ethnic and racial element there. But today's most prominent advocate of it is Alexander Dugin. And Eurasianism, what is Eurasianism? Eurasianism is the notion that Eurasia constitutes a unified entity geographically and culturally. It has deep common roots ranging from Germany or even Britain all the way to Japan. And
we got 15 seconds.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
Okay, well, we'll be right back. We got a break coming up. I just wanted to let you know. And if the two of you can stay on, please do. Hey gang, Patrick Slattery here with an important message that is pertinent to anyone who shops for groceries, eats food, or just has an inquisitive mind like myself. What I'm about to introduce you to is a segment of our food culture that has been kept so low profile to the American public that virtually no one is aware of how dominant it is on our refrigerator and cupboard shelves. What I'm talking about is the kosher certification industry and a new app, Koshertified, that delivers a comprehensive education on all aspects regarding this little-known practice. After reviewing this app, I found that it is useful for practically anyone who purchases food, regardless of their religious faith or identity. Its database of products not kosher certified is a win-win convenience for all food-conscious people. So why not check out thekosherquestion.com or click on the link at nationalbugle.com and see how modifying your grocery shopping with the Koshertified app can make a huge difference for your future.
Homeowners, are you in foreclosure, expecting to be served with a foreclosure lawsuit, or suspect your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction? A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective and you may be paying the wrong party, and the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home. Call toll-free 1-855-2-KEEP-IT. That's 1-855-2-KEEP-IT today.
The First Amendment in the Bill of Rights limits the government's power by ensuring the freedom of speech and preserving the rights of the people. Every day that passes, our rights gradually slip away. It's time to take a stand and let the government know we're tired of losing our rights. LibertyStickers.com will allow you to express your rights and allow millions of people to see you stand up for what you believe in. LibertyStickers.com carries the largest selection of bumper stickers online, ranging from political to humorous, and is your number one source for Ron Paul for President stickers. As always, you can find your favorite stickers that protest the war and the president. Don't see what you're looking for? Liberty Stickers will custom make stickers that will let you get your message across for all Americans to see. Go to libertystickers.com and see pre-made stickers that will get everyone talking. That's libertystickers.com or call 877-873-9626. Liberty Stickers, the world's most dangerous stickers.
Welcome back to the show. Patrick Slattery, National Bugle Radio with Patrick Slattery and Jeremy and George. You're both still with me?
I'm here. I'm George.
Okay, good. Okay, so we only have a few more minutes. So let's kind of wrap this up. So you were explaining the Eurasianist vision. Did you need to a little more time to wrap that up?
Yeah, in a nutshell, the Eurasianist movement claims that Eurasia has common roots and it should stick together. And during the modern era, in our days, it also says that the Eurasia should stand together because there is this transatlantic United States neoliberal danger that they have to fight against, and That's pretty much the crux of it, but there's much, much more that we could talk about. We don't have the time, unfortunately.
Yeah. Well, you're always welcome to call. And regarding Israel, you think there are some people in Israel who see Israel's, like, a better future for Israel in alliance with these type of the Eurasianist types. Is that what you were trying to get at?
The article that I told you about says it all. The unexpected new world order is an admission of defeat on their part. There is a new world order that's arising, and they are not going to have any part in it unless they change their behavior. My stance is that there is a deep divide between diaspora and Israel. Diaspora Jews in Israel, because these things cannot coexist in the world stage. And Russia had a major part in forming this new world stage.
Okay. Jeremy, do you have any last thoughts?
Yeah, I just thought, George mentioning Dugin, you know, when Dugin and Putin both have to deal with Israel, and in Dugin's Eurasian movement, he has to find a place for Israel and for the Jews. And I think this is why I was very critical of Dugin from the offset, and why I wanted to investigate him further. But William from Montana gave a great summary of Dugin in Eurasia on the September 22nd broadcast of Fair and Shell of Show. I co-hosted, interviewed William. He did a great job. If you want to look that up, George, that you'd see what he has to say about that.
Could you repeat the date?
September 22nd.
September 27th.
Well, some of your videos, Dr. Slattery, have been banned in Greece.
Right.
Starting now, this from would be, about this 2 months this ago. Would
be, yeah, this would be the September 22nd edition of Farron Shoaf's show, The Alternative Media, which I would hope you could find on the archives of RBN.
All right.
It might be listed under The Alternative Media with Patrick Slattery. Rather than Farron. So if it says it's Alternative Media with Patrick Slattery, you can look at that, but that's Farron's show.
Okay. So there's a lot more to talk about, but unfortunately we only have seconds to go.
Well, we're making progress, and people are listening to us, and that's why I played at the beginning of the show that clip. People at a Harvard lecture commenting on what we're saying on this show. So, we're having a reach. We're having a reach. And thank you so much for calling, both you, George, sure, and Jeremy.
Thank you.
And remember, we've only got a few more days before the election. Make plans to get out and vote. Donald Trump, he may be our savior. He may not be our savior, but he may be our savior. So let's do what we can. And I'll be back again tomorrow with another exciting episode of National Bugle Radio.
This is too good to be true, except this time it is real. 100%. No joke. How about a $25,000 membership to Front Sight Firearms Training Facility as a thank you bonus for a one-time donation to RBN of only $500? It is a Commander Lifetime membership with no yearly fees or dues. The training is free for the rest of your life with over 50 different classes. Then leave it to your designated beneficiary. You provide the approved firearm, holster, ammo, eye, and ear protection. Many features and bonuses are included, more than you would ever expect or believe. This is the ultimate graduation present, wedding gift, etc., etc. See the details. Go to RBN's webpage and frontsite.com to make it happen. You will hear this offer only on this radio network. Help keep RBN alive. Tell 5.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Because you can handle the truth.